that man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. While others confessed him, cast from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and house falls upon house. But if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. For he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. This is our text. During our Lord's ministry on earth, many people came into contact with him and came away from that experience with different ideas of him and his work. Some saw a great prophet. Others saw John the Baptist arrive again. Still others saw and wondered and asked, could this be the Christ? Yet as our Lord's ministry progressed, another view of him arose. A view of out and out opposition. A view which produces climax from the crowd shouting, crucify him. And this view of opposition is the one described in our text for this morning. But as we look at what is described there, we are confronted by two very important questions. Who is this Christ? And what is his work? And in the answer to those questions, we see both a proper understanding of Jesus, but also a misunderstanding. The first answer is given by those who misunderstood him and who opposed him. When confronted with a man who had a demon cast out of him and he now could speak, some said, he cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Others were not impressed. They demanded further signs. They wanted a greater miracle. Now such views could only come from people who had closed their eyes, blinded their hearts, who did not see really who this one was who performed these miracles. And Jesus takes their understanding and their argument and simply collapses it like a house of cards. He says to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. A house falls upon house. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? So why should Satan, first of all, use his power to possess a man, then use his power to grant someone the ability to cast out that demon out of that same person? Really, it's an absurd argument. But that is what the people were saying of Jesus, that he had the help of the devil in casting out that demon. So they misunderstood him. Now today, it would be very hard for us to find anyone who would say of Jesus that his work was of the devil. At the same time, though, many people in their understanding give answers that have the same effect. Some would demythologize Jesus. They would bring him down to a level that they can rationally comprehend. They would remove all of the miraculous and the supernatural from his life. So what they had left is what they called the historical Jesus, someone who was the farthest thing from being historic. Others look at Jesus and underplay his real significance. They say he was a great man, a fine example. He showed us all how we can live. Others are still demanding signs. They're still looking for miracles. And thousands of others simply ignoring him completely, as if he never existed. But let us not this morning just sit back smugly in our chairs and say, we would never say anything like that about him. Because that is just the point. By ourselves, that is exactly what we would say. But we still have the old man within us. He still reassures himself in our lives every day. And in that struggle with the old man, we are brought face to face with the realization that the natural man does not receive the gift of the Spirit of God, for they are foul to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Natural man will always give the wrong answer to the question. He will always fail the test. He will always misunderstand because he is turned away from God and is facing in the opposite direction. And with that in mind, we should all see the word Jesus, word of warning and of judgment. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. But then there is the proper understanding of Jesus. And that is an understanding that no man can attain by himself. It must be revealed to him. And in our text, Jesus reveals that proper understanding. For he says, if it is by the kingdom of God, the finger of God, that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus says that his power is of God. And he announces to the people there that his kingdom has come. It has arrived. It has overtaken those who are least expecting it. And it has come in a way that they did not expect. For Jesus himself is the kingdom. But he came to reestablish the relationship that had been broken between God and man. He came to reestablish God's rule in grace. This great work of his was accomplished not by some earth-shattering sign, but upon the cross. But the only sign to be given to that evil and adulterous generation was the sign of the prophet Jonah. For our Lord laid down his life upon the cross for the sins of the world. And on the third day rose again from the dead, forever vanquishing the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And today, that is still the only sign to which we must point, the sign of the cross. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is what always must be preached and proclaimed. That in the cross and in the empty tomb is where we find the kingdom, as we see Jesus Christ and him crucified. And finally, then, we learn of this kingdom and receive its benefits in the means of grace. Several verses following our text, Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. For we who are reborn in the waters of holy baptism, who are strengthened and forgiven by his precious body and blood that we receive in the sacrament of the altar, who are nourished and grow in his word, have a proper understanding of Jesus by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this proper understanding, this message is what we as servants of his word must always proclaim. Now in these days of Lent, in the glorious days of Easter to come, and all the days of our lives, as faithful messengers of the kingdom and as servants of the king, in his name.